pizza, you eat with your eyes, you pick all these portions, you think it's going to be dense, and then you get it and you bite it and you have this moment. You can't believe how light and airy and pillowy and the flavors, and it just, it's, I think that's what makes Pizza Al Taglio, when it's done right, so much fun. It's that deception.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the What's Good Dough podcast. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you share it. If you want to get in touch with me, follow us on Instagram at What's Good Dough. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? We have John from Pilara Pizza serving up some great Pizza Al Taglio in Berkeley. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for hopping on. I can imagine it's been, you know, a very busy schedule for you.
It's been interesting. It's been fun. We got a good crew, and you know, my wife and I are working hard together, and I have my whole family down here at the shop. My son and daughter as well, since there's no childcare and no school. So it's been a little different, to say the least.
You're talking about your kids, the ones that are on the Instagram videos helping make the dough.
That's right.
They're precious.
We get them in here, they help out. It's been fun, that's for sure. And then at night, we got Ryan, who's the sous chef here, and he's been actually off making bread, and I, you know, he's gotten a lot of attention for the Bernal Bakery. You know, he's been making bread on his own and stuff like that. It's been really cool in San Francisco to watch his thing explode. So that's awesome as well.
It seems like the whole restaurant just has a passion for making the most delicious bread or crust or, you know, anything that can put pizza toppings on top of. It's amazing the work that you all are doing there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of passion. It's definitely something we love to do, and been researching and constantly learning and trying to improve, trying to make each pie better than the last. It's been a journey. It's been a lot of fun, and we just want to keep on doing it.
Yeah, I've read a little bit about you and your process, and that's, you know, that seems to be one of the things that everyone mentions, is that you've been trying to kind of master this dough, right? This high hydration dough, and you're always iterating and trying to make the best of it. For those people who don't know what your dough consists of, can you just give a little bit more information about it?
Sure. I guess from the beginning, it started a while back. You know, my wife and I have a Sicilian restaurant over in Oakland called Dopo. And I do trips to Italy frequently, mostly going to Sicily, because that's where the inspiration for that restaurant comes. But going to Sicily, you always have a layover, and I'd always make it a point to stay at least a couple days in Rome. When we would do the trip. And, you know, about 10 years ago, on one of these trips, we went to this pizzeria, that's Gabriel Bonci's Pizza Al Taglio restaurant, and it changed my life. It was like some of the greatest pizza, if not the best pizza I've ever had in my life. And kind of since that moment, I've been chasing that experience and wanting to give people that experience as well. So we had a bar, salumi bar called Adesso in Oakland at the time, and we would make our own salumi and charcuterie and things, and we started making Pizza Al Taglio there you know, probably 7 years ago, and it was awesome. It was a really cool learning experience. We didn't get to do the whole window and all the different styles of pizza that are done, but we were able to kind of really start learning about this dough. And when an opportunity came to open up on 4th Street, we just kind of jumped on it and wanted to really be like a true pizza al taglio pizzeria that serves tons of different varietals of pizza and do it by the weight, by the cut, and be very traditional. And we've been messing with the dough quite a bit and doing long fermentation. It's about a 72-hour fermentation, and messing with hydration and different flours. Right now we have five different flours that go into the dough. It's been an incredible process, and I'm just trying to give people the same experience that I had when I was fortunate enough to go to Pizzerium in Rome.
I love what you said about chasing that first experience, that taste with Gabriella Bonci's Pizzerium, because I've actually been there. I was a huge fan of, and still am, a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain. And,
right.
You know, when in Rome, or when in any place, really, I kind of looked towards his recommendations, and lo and behold, that place was there. And my mom and I just walked over. It was so close to everything. It's just like, it's perfect. If you're in Rome, it's like super accessible to just get there. And I mean, because it's so close to all of like the spots, right?
Yeah, it's right next to the Vatican. It's in a cute little neighborhood. It's incredible. He has another location at the train station, which is also, you can create the same experience there now. But it's our inspiration for sure. And we want to do it our way and do our own toppings and kind of take inspiration from Rome and make it our own. But Gabriella is the total inspiration for me chasing this for the last 10 years. He definitely changed my life with the experience there. But we're trying to kind of keep it interesting and change the pizzas and change and stay within the seasons and be very, use the farmer's markets and really, you know, keep it interesting and make the pies light and airy and full of flavor.
When you bake it, are you all par baking before you add toppings?
It's fully baked. So the key with pizza al taglio is also making sure that the pizza is fully baked. That's where the dough gets its structure when it's baked. You don't want to par bake it because it will collapse on you. So you want to fully bake it. And then the reheat is just really essentially reheating it, mostly with bottom heat. So it develops that crispiness again. That's the cool thing too about this pizza is that you could take it home and reheat it at home, and it is literally just like having it at the pizzeria. Right. You have it here. So it eats just as well at home or here. But you know, we don't par bake them. They're fully baked from the get go.
I see. So you put the toppings on top, and then you put them in when the dough is raw. Then you put them in the oven, and then the bread will rise up.
Yes, some pies are baked with all the toppings on them. Some mm-hmm. Then there's the pizza rosso and the pizza bianco, and those two pies will be topped after they're baked. Some of those, like the margherita, we'll put the Florida latte, the mozzarella on, and the basil on after. And then that is when it's reheated. That's when the cheese melts on top. There are other pizzas like the meatball pizza or the potato pizza, which is just a real classic Roman pizza. Those are baked fully in the oven with the cheese and potatoes and everything on them.
I had the mushroom and stracciatella. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
delicious.
We make the stracciatella in house, and then it's got a little bit of green onion on it as well.
Yeah, super, super, super fresh. Yeah, I mean, it was literally the epitome of what this show is about, really. What's good dough? And I was just thinking to myself, like, every bite was just so light and airy. It's an experience on its own. When you closed your restaurant, Adesso, there are people who say, oh, opening one restaurant is crazy. And then opening a second restaurant, you know, that must be such a huge jump. And then going from closing a restaurant to opening up another one. Can you walk us through your line of thinking?
Yeah, that might be a little bit crazy. You know, it's a passion. It's something that I love. I love restaurants. I love cooking. I love learning. I love striving to be a chef, you know. I love every aspect of the restaurant industry. It's been, I've met some of the greatest people in my life there. My wife and I went to culinary school together, so I met my wife, which was just, you know, spectacular. And we were fortunate enough to open up Dopo, which was, you know, has done really well. And it's been just, a passion of food and learning and making pasta to bread to salumi. So you get to do everything from butchery to it all. And Odessa was incredible, the bar and the salumi and, you know, butchering whole animals and just the staff and the I guess I would call it more of like a university environment of a group of people that just wanted to learn and be the best at their crafts. And being around that just every day is why we do it, to get better and to kind of push ourselves to really learn. And when we stumbled across the Pizza Italia, we never really got to finish that project because we just started to understand it. And we kind of, we lost momentum and weren't able to kind of see it all the way through. So I wasn't thinking about opening up another restaurant at that time. I was sad with Odessa. You know, we sold it and we couldn't really get it going the way we wanted to go, but I was proud of what we were able to accomplish there. But in some ways it didn't work out. So there was mixed emotions there. But we did start on this Pizza Italia. And I always felt like I wanted to open one up, and I wasn't really looking for a space at the time, but through different channels and things, this 4th Street space became available, and I immediately thought, what a great spot to really pursue this Pizza Italia pizzeria. And it kind of just, it never left me. I always wanted to kind of see this restaurant open up. I think for me, you know, the things about restaurants, the restaurants that I've been lucky enough to open up between Dopo, Adesso, and now Polara, they've all been restaurants that haven't existed in the area, and there were places that I wanted to exist, places that I would want to go myself to. And I always felt I never wanted to do something that someone else was doing in the area. I always wanted to bring something different. So those were the motivations.
I read that, you know, you knew the owner of the previous location. Is it Tacubaya?
Yeah, Donna. So the way the space kind of happened was my wife and I were out for breakfast one Sunday morning and at Sequoia Diner, this great diner over in Oakland. And we were kind of sitting there, and Donna ends up sitting down next to us. And she actually approached us and was, you know, Danny owns the properties down here, and mentioned that, you know, Danny wanted to talk to us, that she was moving her space over and would we be interested in another location. And immediately I thought of Pizza Italia, and I was like, you know, it was just random the way it happened. But, Donna kind of got the ball rolling for us by a Sunday morning breakfast.
Because you knew Donna, did that help you at all with negotiating with the owner of the spot? Because I understand that, you know, your lease is one of the most important things that you negotiate, just because you never know what's going to happen with the business, being able to assign it to someone else in case things go down, your rates, all of that stuff.
Well, I mean, there is a little bit also history there. Danny, who is the owner down here, he also is a big time regular of Dopo. And we would talk quite a bit when he would come over there. So I've already had a history with him and talking with him. And so it did make things a lot easier and the transition easier, being friendly with the owner as well.
That's great. Having that network and building that relationship ahead of time. Has Danny been, and you can, you don't have to comment on this if he hasn't, but has he been helpful during this time at all?
He's been terrific. He's been completely understanding, supportive. You know, what you would want someone to be, he has been. He's been, you know, saying, you know, we're in this together. We all need to get through this. So it's been, he's been terrific to my wife and I. So we're very fortunate.
That's great. I'm glad it's working out. How has business changed ever since the start of this pandemic for you all? Aside from having, you know, your entire family there and kind of just, I mean, in terms of staffing, in terms of volume, have you all been able to kind of just keep things steady and rolling? What's it like?
I mean, it's been, you know, obviously it's all to go. We've obviously taken a big hit on sales, but we're working on our to go, and we have a nice following. We're doing steady business. You know, we miss a lot of our staff. We're working with a very, very shoestring staff right now. It's just my wife and I and two other people that are working. Plus, we get our kids working a little bit. So, you know, we miss some of the people that we love the most right now, and we got to figure out a way to get them back to work. But it's been, you know, we're making pizza. I feel very fortunate that we're able to still work. But it's been a drastic change. There's no question about that.
You talk about seasonal, right? And I think that is, I think seasonal pizzas are great because you're going with the freshest ingredients of the time and just kind of putting that on a plate. Have you been able to work on those more creative things, or have you just been kind of focusing on staying afloat?
With the takeout, we've been doing a lot of other things too. We're going to launch a bread program, because people are really craving bread. So, you know, starting next week, we make bread here, and we haven't really put it on the menu yet, but we're going to do this Lazio inspired bread called Pane di Lariano, which is kind of like a whole wheat bread that is, you know, with Levide Madre, a mother. So we're going to start making loaves of bread to sell. We're doing other kind of food to bake at home, prepared foods for people to bake at home. And we also opened up our pantry to sell flour and other items as well, to help people out from not having to go to the grocery store. They could easily go on our website and order pizzas, you know, baked pastas, flour, all different types of things, olive oil, sun-dried tomatoes. So we've been working a lot on that. But the seasonal pizzas, you know, we're always working on, you know, as the seasons come along, from asparagus pizzas, you know, in the spring right now, and the fava beans are coming around. Peas are going to be here shortly. And you'll be seeing those ingredients on the pizzas as they come available.
I love that you still have innovation in mind. And I think it's cool that what you're doing with the pantry, I saw that on your website, making flour available and, you know, making your website kind of a bit of a one-stop shop. It's like, oh, I can get my pizza and I can get my olive oil and flour and whatnot. That's a great way of innovating and kind of staying relevant with the times. How is that? Is it, has it been easy to kind of manage that extra product availability?
It's all my wife, man. She works so hard, and she's Kata is her name, and she's constantly on the website updating it and putting more things on and changing it. So she's really, really focused on doing that, and it's been going over really well. I can't get over the amount of people that are buying, you know, pantry items, and they seem very excited to be, that we are offering them. So it's been going really well.
I'm glad y'all are doing well, and I'm glad people know that you all are selling that flour, because it's hard to come by from what I've heard. I was lucky enough to pick up a 50-pound bag of flour right before all of this started, so I'm good right now. But for sure when I run out of that, which is probably going to last, it's probably going to last me another month or so. once I'm out of that, I might check out what flower you all have available.
Yeah, let me know.
You know what I think would be cool? And I don't know if you want to give out your secrets. Think a lot of people would appreciate, a home pizza making class. What are your thoughts about those?
Oh, I think that would be pretty cool as well. We've actually talked about it. Just trying to find the time.
For sure.
But we've actually talked about it and thought about doing maybe even kits to make your own dough and things of that nature. We've talked about for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see how you handle such a high hydration dough. I hear it's very difficult. What percentage hydration is your dough?
It varies, but it's anywhere from 75 to 80% hydration.
Wow.
What we mess around with.
And that's what makes those honeycombs, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's we do a cold fermentation, which is about 72 hours in the refrigerator, which that allows more gluten to be broken down. But it slows everything down, but the yeast still does its job and it breaks down the gluten, which makes it an airier, lighter crust. And also, you know, the high protein flour we use also allows for an easier digestion. It's a pretty healthy pizza, I would say, in that regard.
It looks dense inside. It's like you're not really biting anything in a good way, you know?
That was the moment. I mean, that was what happened for me in Rome.
My wife and I messed up because when we went over there, we only ordered one piece or like one half order because we were going to another place to try some other food. And I was just like, man, we really should have ordered a second one, but we were already running late throughout the day. But I need to go back and try the tripe, tripa a la romana. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that was a chef over here, Chris Lee. He asked for it, so I was like, all right, I'll make some tripe. It's one of my favorite things to eat as well. So we served that with a little pizza bianca, and it's really tasty. It's fun. But yeah, come on, get some. It'd be great.
I mean, it looks so picture perfect just because the way tripe looks, it kind of has the same honeycomb structure in a way, right?
It does.
And I can just imagine you've cooked down the tripe a little bit, so it's just as soft as your pizzas. I'm guessing, is that right?
Yeah, it's got a nice, it's tender, it's you know, great flavor. Yeah, I like it.
I think it's new to a lot of people, or it's like a love it or hate it type of food. But I think that when someone cooks it right and it's like, you know, it's not like gummy, it can be really, really delicious. So I'm excited.
Totally
about
agree.
That. What do you have down the pipeline for Pilara? Any big changes, any hopes?
Well, I mean, we would love to, you know, get through this COVID-19 period and keep built. We're still so new, right? We opened in September. So we're still kind of learning the staff. We're still dialing things in. We're still maturing as a group. And I would love to, you know, get back to that feeling of improving and with a larger group, with the staff, with everyone. So right now we're, you know, the four of us are just trying to kind of get better every day at what we do and talk about what's working and what's not working and continue to improve. But those are the plans. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be, you know, launching the bread, like I said earlier. And we'll always be updating the website with different food and different items.
What is something that the world doesn't know about Pilara?
I still think that, you know, people got to come down and try Pizza Italia and just have that moment that I speak of. If you haven't tried it, it's deceptively incredible. And I just want people to have that experience that I had the first time I had it. And I hope I could deliver that on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm confident in your ability. I was so impressed with the pizza that I literally crave it. You know, after that one time, it's like, and I'm not like hyping it up or anything like that, but like my taste buds are just, you know, I'm missing that rich taste of the mushroom stracciatella pizza, and I want it again, right? And just
that's so humbling. Thank you so much. That means the world to us.
And you're doing a great job. I want to thank Slice of SF. He was the one who told me about you, and Chef Lars talks highly about you. I can see from State of Mind Public House. You have people rooting for y'all a ton.
Oh, thank you.
It's not the best time to start a restaurant. I can imagine. I don't have any experience, but I can imagine.
It's been the most challenging time. There's no question about that.
I hope it ends sooner than later so that more people can try this gem in Berkeley.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the What's Good Dough podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you share it. If you want to get in touch with me, follow us on Instagram @What's Good Dough. And remember to always ask, what's good dough?